It's Saturday, April 8th, 2017, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith S. Shublin, Publisher and Chief Creative of AS21 Publishing, here to bring you the literary news for the first full week of April 2017.
Sunday.
Top story from Smithsonian Magazine, Bob Dylan will finally collect his Nobel Prize for Literature. The ever-elusive Bob Dylan is slated to collect his Nobel Prize for Literature months after he became the first songwriter to receive the prestigious honor and caused a hullabaloo by opting out of the prize-giving ceremony. As Hannah Ellis Peterson reports for The Guardian, Dylan will meet with members of the Swedish Academy, which doles out the Nobel Prizes, while making a scheduled tour stop in Sweden this weekend. The Swedish Academy is very much looking forward to the weekend and will show up at one of the performances, Sarah Danius, permanent secretary of the Academy, wrote in a post titled Good News About Dylan. Danius goes on to say that no media will be present when Dylan receives his Nobel Medal and diploma, per the songwriter's wishes. At this time, Dylan will not deliver a lecture, something that he must do by June if he is to receive his 8 million Swedish krona, roughly $900,000 US, prize that is awarded to Nobel laureates, the BBC explains. According to Darius, the Academy has reason to believe that Dylan will send a tape lecture at some point, as several other Nobel laureates have done. Author Alice Munro, for example, submitted a pre-recorded conversation in 2013. Also in the news on Sunday from The Guardian, Ahmed Najee on his way to hear if Egyptian court will clear him to write again. Jailed for offending public morals, the novelist was freed last year but will only receive a final verdict on Sunday. Here he describes his agonizing wait. From InfoDocket History, 4 new digital collections available online from the Library of Congress. The collections are American Leaders Speak, Recordings from World War I, the Millard Fillmore Papers, Papers of a 13th President, the Franklin Pierce Papers, Papers of the 14th President, and the Samuel J. Gibson Diary and Correspondence, Civil War Diary from Andersonville Prison Camp in 1864. From LitHub, what does it mean to set your novel at Harvard? On The Idiot and the Evolution of the Campus Novel. And finally on Sunday, from The Millions, did Vladimir Nabokov write the great refugee novel? If one is seen a success story from the ranks of the displaced, Nabokov is the ideal candidate. Not only did he survive as a writer in his new language, but he became the greatest of rarities, an American literary lion who was also a bestseller.
Monday.
Top story from Gizmodo, Norway gets a new Doomsday Vault that stores data. Just in time for Doomsday, Norway's Doomsday Vault is getting an expansion. Officially known as the World Arctic Archive, the vault opened this week and has already taken submissions from 2 countries. This time, instead of storing seeds that will survive the apocalypse, the vault is archiving data using specially developed film. Located about 620 miles from the North Pole in Svalbard, Norway, the World Arctic Archive has been built in Mine 3, an abandoned coal mine close to the Global Seed Vault. Countries are being encouraged to submit data that is particularly significant to their culture. A Norwegian company called Pikul is handling the conversion of digital data onto a photosensitive, multi-layered analog film. The company claims that the film is expected to last between 500 and 1,000 years. Pikul's Katrine Lohn-Thomsen tells Norwegian outlet NRK that the process is similar to turning data into big QR codes on film. According to documents from Pikul, a country can upload text, images, or audiovisual content to Pikul's service. That data is then transferred to the special film that is designed to withstand significant wear and tear. It's then placed into a secure box and housed inside the heavily fortified vault. As long as the internet and servers are still functioning, the data will remain searchable online. Upon request, it can be delivered digitally or shipped on a physical format of the user's choice. Also in the news on Monday, from the bookseller, Louise Dean launches 90-Day Writers Community. Man Booker Prize long-listed author Louise Dean has launched a community to help writers produce a novel in just 90 days. From the Telegraph, revealed self-styled grammar vigilante corrects badly punctuated shop signs in the dead of night. Wielding an apostrophizer, a broom handle laden with 2 sponges and a number of stickers, the man has corrected tens of missing and misplaced apostrophes on shop banners across Bristol over the past 13 years. From Book Trade, novels by former builder, magistrate, and BBC journalist long-listed for the 10th anniversary Desmond Elliot Prize. Universal theme of love and loss at the heart of the prize's strongest ever long-list. From InfoDocket, the illustrated Prague Haggadah that survived 500 years, scanned, digitized, and now online from the National Library of Israel. This Haggadah was published in 1556, of which only 2 copies survived the ravages of time and history. The only other copy can be found at the British Library in London. From LitHub, why literature and pop culture still can't get the Midwest right, on representations of a region that has never truly known itself. And finally on Monday, from The Guardian, the literary tomboy is dead, or is she? From Shakespeare to Enid Blyton, fiction about girls who defy feminine stereotypes has itself been pretty stereotypical, but that may be changing.
Tuesday.
Top story from Slate, George Takei is writing a graphic novel about his family's experience in a Japanese internment camp. George Takei has announced that he is in the process of writing a graphic novel. The project, to be published in 2018 by IDW Publishing, will explore the acclaimed actor and queer activist's life in a Japanese-American internment camp. He was 5 years old when President Franklin D. Roosevelt initiated the camps after the bombing of Pearl Harbor and experienced them firsthand with his family. Takei will begin the graphic novel by recounting memories of his childhood and build to his rise to fame on Star Trek and his turn to political activism. The Takei family recently provided the inspiration for Allegiance, the first Broadway musical to be written by and star Asian Americans. Takei himself appeared in the production. The actor has also emerged as one of the more vocal anti-Trump voices on social media, regularly speaking out against the president and his agenda. Also in the news on Tuesday from the bookseller, Bernie Sanders joins 30th Hay Festival lineup. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, Man Booker Prize winner Paul Beatty, veteran director Ken Loach, and actress Charlotte Rampling are among the famous names on the lineup. From LitHub, India's nationalist assault on intellectuals and students. On-campus activism amid a culture of oppression. From InfoDocket, from Academic Libraries, Ithaca SNR releases U.S. Library Survey 2016 report. The Library Survey provides unique insights into the perspectives, priorities, and long-term plans of the leaders of academic libraries. By focusing on the chief executive of each academic library, this survey provides insight on high-level issues including strategy, leadership, budget, and staffing. From The Guardian, how James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time still lights the way towards equality. A new edition of the classic treatise on civil rights, featuring photojournalist Steve Shapiro's visual record of a struggle, provides a model for how to report in the Black Lives Matter era. And finally on Tuesday, from Today's Parent, I'm a writer, but my autistic child can barely speak. When you realize your child's path will be vastly different from yours, it wallops you. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Sunday, April 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Kensington, Maryland, it's the 12th annual Day of the Book Festival. Live music featuring the Nighthawks, Dee Dee and the Do-Rights, Eli August and the Abandoned Buildings, Sisters Yuki and Friends, Michael Davis, Scott Douglas Quartet, Gigs Guitar Studio, and Rainbow Rock. You'll also find local authors, readings, poetry, art and chess, cooking demos, children's programs, food trucks, and more. Rain or shine on Howard Avenue in Old Town, Kensington, Maryland. And you'll find AS21 there as well, in force with creatives. Visit www.dayofthebook.com or call 301-949-9416 for more information.
Wednesday.
Top story from Entertainment Weekly, Webby Awards 2017 nominees include Stranger Things, Jimmy Fallon, Game of Thrones. Nominations for the 21st Annual Webby Awards were unveiled on Tuesday, and this year's contenders for the best, biggest, and most viral things on the internet include Game of Thrones, Beyoncé's Formation, Jimmy Fallon, and Stranger Things. Winners will be announced on April 25th and will be celebrated at a ceremony taking place on May 15th, which will also be available for viewing on demand on the Webby's website the following morning. The awards are handed out by the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, which includes Kevin Spacey, Questlove, Grimes, and Jimmy Kimmel among its members. Voting is also open for the Webby People's Voice Awards category from now until April 20th. Also news on Wednesday from Bleeding Cool, Axel Alonso and David Gabriel say Marvel changed too many characters, publisher is not above politics. Years from now, people will speak in hushed tones about the great Marvel Retailer Summit debacle of 2017 and the series of outrageous headlines that permeated the internet when Marvel allowed website ICV2 to attend a meeting between Marvel and retailers and report the contents of said meetings to the public. From the bookseller, Angry Scheffler slams Brexit's effect on arts. Axel Scheffler may leave the UK in the wake of an enacting Article 50, the illustrator has told the bookseller daily at Bologna Children's Book Fair. From InfoDocket Acquisitions, the Joffrey Ballet's archive donated to the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts. The Joffrey Ballet Archive measures approximately 575 linear feet and includes 6 boxes of 8mm and 16mm film, as well as over 60 boxes of Beta and VHS, making it one of the most significant collections within the dance division's holdings. From LitHub, 50 fictional days immortalized in literature. When did Alice go down that rabbit hole anyway? And finally on Wednesday from Book Riot, 20 fantastic edible books from the world's biggest edible food festival. In celebration of all the rad edible book festivals that just happened all over the world, here are some of the best cakes from this year and years past.
Thursday.
Top story from Melville House Books, Amazon Books to descend on New York like a swarm of locusts. This year, after months of cross-continental rubbernecking and anxious blogging, New York City will reluctantly quarter not one, but two iterations of Amazon Books, the brick-and-mortar boots on the ground, in Jeff Bezos' ceaseless war against market diversity and basic human decency. According to reports in Publishers Weekly and elsewhere, the most recent fleshly manifestation of Amazon's retail empire will crash against our shores sometime in 2017. Establishing bulkheads at the Time Warner Building on Columbus Circle and on West 34th Street across from the Empire State Building. Assuming that the Hudson Yards project remains on track sometime in 2018, New York may well be sharing space with three different Amazon book locations. Also the news on Thursday from DigiDay, how New York Magazine is growing commerce and revenue. New York Magazine has been giving its print subscribers shopping recommendations for 5 decades, but when it turned the print feature into a digital e-commerce brand last year, it had to start from scratch. From the bookseller, Kobo acquires ebook and print bundling service Shelfie. Rakuten Kobo has acquired Shelfie, a service which enables customers to get free or discounted ebook versions of their print books. From Hypothesis, Highwire and Hypothesis partner to bring annotation to publishers. The partnership brings a high-quality, open annotation capability to over 3,000 journals, books, reference works, and proceedings published on Highwire's JCore platform. From The Guardian, do 2 unpublished books make you a failed author? No. You're a quitter. To the author who has quit after 2 novels didn't make it to print, I recommend getting a lot better at dealing with rejection. From LitHub, The Longest Winter, or Why It Took Me 15 Years to Finish My Novel, Max Winter goes year by year on a very long journey. And finally on Thursday, from Smithsonian Magazine, Hemingway in Love. In a new memoir, one of Hemingway's closest friends reveals how the great writer grappled with the love affair that changed his life and shaped his art.
Friday.
Top story from Mental Floss, scientists create a wheel of old book smells. In a first step toward understanding what they call the heritage of smells, researchers at University College London have diagrammed the various aromas associated with old books. They published their findings today in the journal Heritage Science. To explore this question, the researchers conducted a series of experiments on the intersections between aroma, culture, history, and place. First, they collected samples of the air inside an 18th century library and analyzed it to identify all its scent-producing chemicals. Next, they asked visitors to the library to describe the library scent as specifically as they could. Every single visitor said woody, and many called it smoky or earthy, and 70% agreed that the smell was pleasant. Some called it pungent. For their last experiment, the researchers presented visitors with 8 common smells, including a coal fire, a fish market, coffee, and old books. Again, they were asked to describe each scent, although it was old book smell that the researchers really cared about. Perhaps surprisingly, the most common descriptor was some variation of chocolate. Coffee, burning wood, old, dirty socks, and fish all made appearances as well. Also the news on Friday from The Guardian, don't say divorce, say special relationship, the thorny language of Brexit. Using soap opera-style breakup metaphors to describe Britain's EU departure is part of a cheapening of politics. From eBooks Cambridge, eBooks Usage 2016, a glance at the figures. Cambridge has recently completed the epic exercise of compiling 2016 usage statistics for over 75,000 eBooks on more than 60 platforms. For those of you looking to get a quick idea, there are some key observations. From InfoDocket, 29 academic publishers, Wikimedia Foundation, DataCite, and many others launch initiative for open citations. Before I4OC started, only about 1% of the publications with reference data deposited in Crossref made their references freely available. Now that figure will jump to 40%. From LitHub, the week in literary film and TV news, The King Clan, Anne of Green Gables, Dune at last. And finally on Friday, from The Millions, the language of poets, 10 notable forms. Poems are sculpted art, and it helps to begin them with a sense of form.
Saturday.
Top story from Quartz, America's unhealthy obsession with productivity is driving its biggest new reading trend. Audiobooks are the latest trend in book publishing. They're part of the podcast boom, and they're helping U.S. publishers keep losses down as ebook sales from big-name companies continue to slump. What's been around since the 1980s has a sleek new face, and Today Who's Listening, Where, and Why offers a glimpse into a new reading trend sweeping the U.S. Audiobook listening is growing rapidly, specifically with 25 to 34-year-olds, thanks to a pernicious sleep-when-you're-dead mindset reflective of the young, aspirational, educated American. We are fearful of monotasking, find downtime distasteful, and feel anxious around idleness. Even when picking socks from a drawer, young workers feel better if information somehow flowing to their brains. This is exactly the restless market that book publishers need. In the U.S., growth of audio is stronger than any other format, according to the Association of American Publishers, which tracks revenue from 1,200 book publishers. And while audiobook unit sales numbers are still small, from January to September 2016, U.S. traditional publishers sold 240 million in audiobooks, compared to 1.8 billion in hardcover books. The format's growth has meant more and more publishers are putting their money in people's ears. From the Japan Times, Japanese handbook on maternal and child health made into app for Palestinian refugees in Jordan. The Japanese International Cooperation Agency made the app with the United Nations. It was launched on Tuesday in Jordan, which has 2.1 million Palestinians registered with the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian refugees in the Near East. From the Moscow Times, how a new law is making it difficult for Russia's aggregators to tell what's new. Have algorithms become accomplices of state censorship? From Books Live out of South Africa, Handle History with Care, It Might Come Back to Bite You, Stephen Cohn on Tribing and Untribing the Archive. According to the editors, the essays provide a window into not only to see how archives give shape to history, but also how history gives shape to archives. From Haaretz, Joan Nathan's new book ties biblical cooking to the world of today. Haaretz food columnist cooks lunch with the doyen of Jewish cooking and discusses food history and Jewish tradition. And finally on Saturday, closing out the week from BBC, punctuation that failed to make the mark. Several writers and inventors in the last century tried to introduce new marks of punctuation in the English language, but they all failed. Keith Houston tells their story. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the computer, Fiona.
This episode is sponsored by...
Similar to my blowjobs, I take pride in my talents, dancing being one of the best. In this day and age, courtship is often layered with several tests, and dancing is a major one. It's assumed that courtship involves traditional gestures, but in modern dating, there's a show. And just as the birds of paradise who show their colorful feathers and flashy bird calls with accompanying choreographed dances, the modern single is like the bird of paradise. Except replace the feathers with low-cut blouses or overpowering cologne, and replace the bird calls with dropping it like it's hot. That being said, I am the motherfucking peacock of dancing courtship. An excerpt from Dating as Told by the Modern Whore. Like Sex, Vexed and Perplexed? Like hearing about Eileen Vega's adventures with sex and dating? Then pick up her first book, Dating as Told by the Modern Whore. Follow me in all of my sexual adventures as I go through different phases of my dating life. Hear a little bit about my perspective on modern dating and blush as you read some of the raunchy, raunchy chapters.
Now available at the AS20 Market, Amazon.com, Smashwords, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and wherever ebooks are sold.
Buy yours today.
Now for the New York Times bestseller list sales for the week ending the 1st of April. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Black Book by James Patterson and David Ellis. Number 2, The Shack by William P. Young. Hardcover fiction number 1, Black Book by James Patterson and David Ellis. Number 2, Mississippi Blood by Greg Isles. Paperback trade fiction number 1, The Shack by William P. Young. Number 2, Milk and Honey by Rupi Kaur. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Old School by Bill O'Reilly and Bruce Fairstein. Number 2, The Zookeeper's Wife by Diane Ackerman. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Old School by Bill O'Reilly and Bruce Fairstein. Number 2, Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. Paperback nonfiction number 1, The Zookeeper's Wife by Diane Ackerman. Number 2, On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hit You Give by Angie Thomas. Number 2, Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor. And now for the Home Report. This past week, we announced AOS 21's bestseller for the month of March. Eileen Vega and her sexual memoir Dating as Told by the Modern Whore took the honors after being released in print. The official launch party at Walls of Books in Washington, D.C. was a tremendous success and catapulted Vega to the top of the pack. Visit market.as21.com today to pick up your copy, or help another AS21 creative become the bestseller for April. We recently launched our team for the 2017 Walk to End Alzheimer's on the National Mall. The date hasn't been announced yet, but we hope to be out in force with a fundraising goal of $1,021. Visit alz.org/goto/AS21 to donate or join our team and help us #SaveTheStories. We also announced a campaign to rekindle the passion supporting the continuation of the Passion on the Page poetry podcast through our partnership with Patreon. Please, no more peas. From now until Memorial Day, AS21 is looking for patrons to pledge $8 per month to help cover the cost of a pro account for Passion, allowing new poetry to hit the podcast airwaves for months or years to come. For our part, The podcast has a new Facebook page and tagline, poetry, commentary, insight, and inspiration, and has been submitted to podcastguests.com to find more guest poets. Episodes have already begun appearing on the AOS 21 YouTube channel. For more information on the campaign and how to become a patron of The Passion, visit patreon.com/AOS21. We want to thank our first patron, Barbara Dickinson, who has us on the path to keep The Passion alive. The pre-order of The Will of the Magi, the fantasy epic by Paul Dickinson Russell, continues on Indiegogo. After the successful crowdfunding campaign, we have transitioned to be an in-demand project, and you will be able to pre-order the book right up until it is released this summer. Visit Indiegogo.com today and search for The Will of the Magi. On Monday, we welcomed our newest addition to the AOS21 management team, Zach C. Cohen, our new chief of audio production. Zach has taken over as producer of the AOS21 podcast network and will be working with staff and creatives alike to improve AOS21's audio technology and programming. To find out more, or to join our staff, visit www.as21.com. On Thursday night, AOS21 creative Eileen Vega was on WDLS Internet Radio at www.wdlsradio.net. Sex Vexed Perplexed Live appears every 4 weeks and gives listeners the opportunity to call in and ask questions of Eileen or share their own stories. Tweet at The Modern Horror with any questions you have beforehand, or visit SVP's Facebook page for the event page. On Friday, the next chapter of the Publish Me podcast was released. Keith, Paul, and Rana welcomed AOS21 editor-in-chief Corey Parker once again as they updated listeners on the progress of Paul's fantasy epic, The Will of the Magi. Rana also announced her cover art, which will be shared this coming week. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, YouTube and media.as21.com. In the week ahead, we will be releasing the cover art for The Will of the Magi created by Rana Gaynor. To see it first, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com and facebook.com/as21. On Tuesday, the next edition of the Passion on the Page poetry podcast will be released. The episode will feature a guest poet presenting their original poetry. Find Passion on the Page on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, YouTube, and media.as21.com. On Wednesday, the next episode of the Sex Vexed Perplexed with the Modern Whore podcast will be released. Host Eileen Vega will be discussing relationships with younger guys. This podcast is available every other Wednesday on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn and MediaAOS21.com, and Thursdays on WDLS Radio Net. On Thursday night, Sex Vexed Perplexed with the Modern Horror was on WDLS Internet Radio at www.wdlsradio.net. On Friday, the April edition of the Creative Speaking video series will be released. AOS 21 creative Michael B. Judkins will be discussing the conditions necessary for writing in part 5 of his author interview. Find Creative Speaking on the AOS 21 YouTube channel and media.as21.com. This has been Fiona, the AOS 21 computer, signing off.
This podcast and several others on the AOS 21 Podcast Network can now be supported through the advertising site AdvertiseCast. Visit AdvertiseCast.com for more information. And don't forget our partnership with Patreon. To support the entire AOS 21 Podcast Network, consider becoming a monthly contributor, and we will reward you with a number of goodies. Visit patreon.com/AOS21 to find out more. Thank you for listening to this edition of Literary This Week. Be sure to subscribe on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, or our home on the web, media.as21.com. which also has the complete news list for this and previous episodes, so for all the stories you heard here, so that you can read them for yourself. You can keep up with the news during the week by following us on Twitter at AOS21. If there's any stories that you think we missed, tweet to us with the hashtag LiterallyThisWeek. For AOS21 Publishing, I am Keith F. Shelton. Thank you for listening, see you next week, and keep reading.
Copyright 2017, AOS21 Publishing, LLC.
All rights reserved.
AOS21 Publishing. What do you want your book to be?